Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone,
or you say,
hang it in there,
because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak,
then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The USFL Gambling Podcast Week 2 Preview Picks and DFS episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by the SGPN merch store. Yes, use the promo code SGPNBA to get 10% off everything in the store. Everything, including our USFL Gambling Podcast t-shirts and sweatshirts. So hop on over there and remember, as always, folks, to let it ride.
Football is a unique American experience. A game described by one turn of the century critic as crude and barbaric, with little chance of survival. But survive it did.
USFL Gambling Podcast. And remember, folks, obviously subscribe to wherever you listen to podcast at, but also you can watch us on YouTube, youtube.com, USFL Gambling Podcast. You might just be wondering who the hell you're listening to. Is this guy just yelling at you about how excited he is about the United States Football League? Well, my name is Colby Swinging Dantabase Dant, AKA Pick Don D. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
I'm dying in this fucking country ass fucked up town. Shit flying in my mouth. The fuck, I can't see pollen. Let's get the fuck out of this country, mother.
I smoke and I drink and I don't have stress and I'm healthy.
Ho, ho, ho! Week one did not disappoint, folks. I'll be honest. Thought the quality of play was ahead of the Extreme Football League, although I did appreciate the Extreme Football League's home environments. All right. And I host the XFL Gambling Podcast. But I'll be honest. I thought especially the first three games were ahead of schedule as far as, you know, continuity. We keyed in on this. We'll talk more about it in a second. I'm joined by my co-host. Give it up for former JMU Duke defensive back, the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi-oh! Well,
how you doing, pal? Let me get you a little music, a little techno Super Bowl action.
Yeah, but life is grand, brother.
Yes, it is grand when you have spring football leagues. Look, I love them all. All right, USFL is probably my favorite, but give me the XFL, give me the CFL, give me the World League, give me all that good stuff. We are ELF. All right, we are joined by third man in the booth, the DFS god himself, and you better believe we're giving away our DFS lineups because mine hit for some straight cash last week.
Boom!
Give it up for the rooftop IPA drinking, homebrew making, Tobacco Road living, the free life giving, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
There we go. Finally, I started a little too soon that time.
That works. That works. It's okay.
Sometimes you gotta wind it up.
I just wanted to play some music. I love that theme song. I could listen to that all day. I could drive around Los Angeles here, just listen to that, waiting for the Los Angeles Express. And now, you know, Oakland, just the no more of the Oakland A's. Get the Oakland Invaders playing back at the Oakland Coliseum, folks. Let's go.
That would actually be a really smart move, considering they have, is the Golden State Warriors still Oakland?
No.
Not really. So no, they have no professional sports team.
No, dude, they're full out San Francisco. Most Oakland people I know are kind of out on them.
Right. So that makes a ton of sense for the USFL or somebody else to start a football franchise there.
Yes. Oakland Invaders back. Come on, let's go. The A's, you can't get rid of the A's. Folks, what'd you guys think of week one's action? Because I was pleasantly surprised. If I'm just quickly, I know we got to get into our picks and DFS and everything, but the biggest takeaway for me was I think I saw one of the best performances by a quarterback ever in a spring league with Josh Love and the Michigan Panthers. Look, you normally never see a completion percentage rate that high in these leagues, right?
For sure.
And to have like, what is it? 22 attempts and only two incompletions. Holy shit. I mean, look, I watched CFL. I mean, Flutie, you can probably find some Flutie or like Jeff Garcia stuff, but I'm saying, especially in the leagues that haven't been around much, AAF, XFL back in, even in 2000 or 2021 or 2020 or this year or the USFL last year, you don't see offensive outputs like that from the quarterback completing the ball. So is that a testament to how bad Jeff Fisher is? Perhaps. But is that a testament to how bad Kirby Wilson is for cutting him? Perhaps. But that one was one of the bigger takeaways. Obviously, Birmingham looked great against New Jersey, especially red zone defense. New Jersey got inside the 20 five times, only come away with one touchdown. That told the tale in that game.
That was a heartbreaker for you because I know Jersey was one of your ones that you were expecting to cover, and they really came close.
Well, it's a touchdown by DeAndre Johnson. Mike Pereira, I'll accept that apology any day now.
Patty C, quit being so modest. You were the only one on the show last week that was laying the points with Birmingham. Throw your dick up in the air. Take credit for it. You got that one right.
Yes.
I got it right, but he did score a touchdown. There's no doubt about it.
Well, even if they would have added on 7 points, Birmingham still would have covered, okay?
Well, here's the thing. That all definitely changed the outcome of the game because – were they down 7 instead of 14 fourth quarter? Maybe they don't go for 7 again. Maybe they kick the 3. And then at that point, New Jersey covers. So
Patty, see, we gotta have a talk, man. You gotta work on your talent game, okay?
Yeah.
You only have excuses when you lose. Okay. When you get it right, you were on the right side, and don't try to, you know, diminish.
I predicted it all. That's right.
I'll say this, and I know we already did a reaction show episode, but DeAndre Johnson, 4 of 13 for 29 yards, ain't cutting it. And a lot of those got blocked at the line of scrimmage. He just didn't look very accurate. Now, Dakota Prokop from the CFL coming in. Whoo! That guy could play. That guy could play. And then obviously Trey Williams, late scratch, just like we found out Mark Thompson wasn't playing for the Houston Gamblers. Those are probably big, big deals. But
for sure.
And I love Mike Riley, but you got to give Darius Victor the ball more. 8 carries, 89 yards, 11.1 yards a rush, and you only give him 8 carries?
Seriously.
What's going on? What's going on? And on the other side of the ball,
he's an unknown commodity, right? He was not league MVP or offensive MVP last year, so yeah, maybe they weren't ready to give him the ball.
Only runner up, yeah. But Jamar Smith, first pass of the season, was like a 60-yard touchdown. But then the news this week that he's out for the season. They lose him for the season. They also lose Marlon Williams for the season. So instantly, anyone that's got a future on, I don't know, every team in the league, you're feeling a lot better knowing they got hit with those injuries. Now,
can I ask you a question real quick? Jamar Smith is out with a hurt finger for the year. What the hell did he do to his finger?
I don't know. Broke his thumb, maybe? I don't know.
I think it's on his left hand, too. You can't, like, you know, wrap that up? A finger?
I don't know.
You got 9 more, don't you?
I don't know, but I saw him tweet that he was upset about it. So, I mean, yeah, I'm buying into it.
No, I'm sure.
1962, Nick.
No, yeah. But, you know, usually someone's out for the year. But granted, the year is 10 games. It's not like it's the NFL where it's 18 weeks. Maybe he could have came back if it was almost double. But usually it's a knee, it's a shoulder. It's not a finger. Usually a finger's, you know, a couple of weeks or something. So he must have really messed it up.
Well, the good thing if you're a Birmingham fan is Alex McGough started a lot of games for them.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't miss a beat, but the Marlon Williams injury is huge. And then what the hell? Bo Scarborough, 2 rushes for -1 yards. Luckily he had one catch for 5 yards to get us something. But I was perplexed. What's he in the doghouse? What's going on there? Cause not only CJ Marable, I mean, a lot of guys had carries in this game besides Scarborough. So something is up unless
Scarborough's known to do this though. You know, I don't know if it's an effort thing, if it's a condition thing. He has a history of this. When he is on the field and when he is in decent shape, the guy is an animal, but maybe he's not the hardest, worker in practice. Who knows? But it was surprising. And also, by the way, I had Scarborough and Marlon Williams in my DFS lineup. Other than those two, I did pretty nice. But of course, they sunk my boat big time. And, you know, and that's why I didn't win any money week one. So, yeah, that both of those were surprising. Definitely.
Well, Scarborough at this point, real quick, his game logs, which started in week 5 of last year, total rushing yardage, 25, 104, 100, 54, 31, 38, 39, 135, in the championship game. So he's going to pop it for 100 or he's going for 30 or he's going for -1.
I think it's a lack of touches is what's concerning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must have been in the doghouse or something, but I can tell you this. I was surprised they actually went out. If you remember last year with the Michigan Panthers, LaMichael Petway was a pretty decent player on their shitty offense. The Stallions did sign him throughout this week. Interesting signing. I was expecting a lot of signings. I know that one happened. I know also the Generals brought back Jamon Moore, a wide receiver who played for them last year. And they cut a corner to get him. Also, Isaiah Zuber, who was a very good receiver for the Houston Gamblers, back with the Houston Gamblers, as well as corner Elijah Jones. But I was shocked that Slaughter was not signed by either the Gamblers or the Pittsburgh Maulers, because watching those two teams, and quickly the Maulers defense looks awesome, actually. Maulers defense I was really impressed by. Their offense
still gave up over 300 yards in the air.
True, but they created a lot of turnovers too. Like I just felt like what they had that defensive touchdown, and I just feel like they were tough. That the yards per the run defense or the run defense was strong against New Orleans, but they don't look very good. And Houston, I think, looked like the worst team in the league. And I both of them have glaring weaknesses at the quarterback spot. You got Kyle Sloter, who was one of the league leaders a year ago, just sitting out there. What are you doing? Bring him in. At least have him as a backup to throw in the game, because the guy has obviously had a great, great success preseason NFL, and then obviously put up some good stats last year in the United States Football League.
I would imagine that nobody wants to overreact from 1 week. Now, if it's more of the same in week two, I think maybe you'll see some moves then, you know, but going up through training camp, through practice, you got a couple quarterbacks, you think you can make one of them fit, but yeah, you know, especially again with just a 10 game season, if you're 0-2, you better start to do something to right the ship. And that might be the signing of a quarterback.
Yeah. Go get them. And, Memphis Showboat's offensive line looked a lot better. Now I know Brady White had bad interception, Channing Stribling. We cashed on the over a half an interception on the first drive of the game.
I wonder if anybody found that bet. I know I threw that out there kind of jokingly. Well, seriously, but I didn't think I could actually find that bet. I wonder if that was out there somewhere.
Underdog Fantasy, get on over there. But the Memphis offensive line to me looked like they almost won that game. Yeah. And I was impressed. I think Michigan, I think, was the team that just looked a lot better.
Definitely.
And I would say Memphis looks better. And then with the Stallions taking some hits injury wise, also New Orleans got the win. They didn't look amazing, but we'll see. But before we get it, also, how about this one? I guess I got to get us paid in a second here, but if I looked at the AAF in 2019, 12 interceptions in the first week. The XFL in 2020, 8 interceptions. Then you had the USFL last year that I think was 9 interceptions. Then XFL 12 this year, 4 for week one.
I thought the quarterback play was pretty good.
Line of scrimmage play. That's what I mean. And when I compare it and say I think the USFL is better than the XFL, I'm simply saying that I believe the teams are better. I love the home atmosphere in DC and in St. Louis in the XFL, and I would love to see the USFL move to markets next year. But as far as like quality teams, I just think there's so many better USFL teams on the line of scrimmage, which then leads for better passing and better rushing. So I don't know.
It's unfortunate.
It all starts up front. Sorry, Patty, go ahead.
Because I enjoyed the interceptions. I liked the defense, you know, and the defense generating stats and big plays, but that is kind of what happens, you know, as these teams get more experience, more crisp on offense.
Well, you still have
a fine line.
Yeah.
You want to see good defensive plays that result in turnovers. You don't want to see just awful offense where it's just like giving the ball away to the defense. Cause then it looks like bad football.
Well, you still saw, I mean, what the Michigan Panthers had a pick six, the Maulers scored a defensive touchdown. So you still saw 2 out of the 4 games have defensive touchdowns. So
yeah.
In the chat, our guy Kitch says the Breakers have potential. I agree with him. I think I'm a little bit higher on the Breakers than Colby is, but we
gotta
learn how to
run the ball. All right, you got to be able to. You got to run the ball in these leagues. All right.
Tell that to Philly.
Well,
Case Cookus only went to the championship last year.
Oh no, but Case Cookus was running for like 80 a game. All right,
80 a game. That was one run.
No, honestly, dude, I played him in DFS a lot. He was running the shit out of the ball. He was the leading rusher on the team this last week.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he probably had the most carries too because they are a very pass heavy offense.
True. But go back to the Jim Mora, Calvin Bryant days. They got it done on the ground. All right, let's go. All right, folks, I want to tell you that the USFL Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network's brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Yes, the NBA and NHL playoffs are here. What better way to get down on some player prop parlays than over at Underdog Fantasy? Besides the daily NHL, NBA, and MLB games, they've also already got NFL best ball drafts with a guaranteed $500,000 in prizes. Whew, $500,000. Plus, like I mentioned, XFL, USFL. Head over to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN. Let's go. All right. We are back on the United States Football League gambling podcast. And I'm excited for this next week, guys. Now I will also rattle off this. I don't know how much this matters to you guys, but I find it interesting. The battle back and forth. So, the USFL's ratings were up 4% from a year ago. Nice. And, And they also, they didn't have a game. So competing with, what was that? The NBA playoffs, and competing with the XFL, which I think everyone was interested in, you know, seeing how this would break down. So total for the weekend, USFL had 3.15 million viewers and the XFL 2.35. Now, some of that's because the XFL obviously plays on like ESPN2 and stuff, but,
A good sign for the XFL. That was week eight for them, right?
Week nine
for them.
Yeah.
So their season's winding down. You would kind of hope, I know it's not always true that you kind of hope for more viewership as the season goes on. Sometimes it's not the case. Sometimes like your opening week is more, you know, and then it might tail off and then plateau or something, but probably not a good sign for the XFL if the USFL has more viewership right off the bat.
Well, they have XFL had one game on ABC, two on ESPN, one on ESPN2, and then USFL had two on Fox, one on NBC. That's why I think USFL has a little bit of an advantage from their only one game on cable that was FS1.
And there's already a little history from last year. So there's interest coming out the gates here that hasn't been built in for the XFL. I'm going to say this. You know, I kind of disliked the XFL just based on the assumption that it was going to be, you know, Disney-esque and a little bit soft and a little bit, you know, whatever PC, and not allowing them to actually play the sport of football. Aside from the kickoff, I've been pretty pleasantly, you know, it's football. They are playing football in the XFL too. And I think these two leagues can coexist. I hope they compete. And both are putting up pretty decent numbers. You said, what was it? 3 point what for the USFL?
3.15 million, considering NHL and NBA playoffs going on at the same time. And then for the XFL, 2.35 million, both sustainable. Yeah. I'm not trying to bomb on the USFL or I'm sorry, on the XFL. I'm just saying, I don't like the kickoff, but I do like, I love having the league there.
Yeah. USFL is cooler.
Yeah, of course.
Cause you have the I'm a USFL team. Guy personally.
Yeah. And there's no doubt in my mind that human being and fish can coexist. I can't find that clip, but I was looking for that. But yeah, okay. Let's get into
it. Shout out to Judge Dredd in the chat. He says it's time for Magoo.
Oh yeah. Magoo. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Time for Magoo.
So Saturday, first game, 9:30 AM on the West. This is on the USA Network. So I expect a little bit of a dip ratings wise. Cause you're trying to, unless you're trying to watch, NCIS, look, Houston Gamblers, New Orleans Breakers. Breakers are laying six.
Let's talk about line movement. There's been a couple games where there's been some major line movement from Tuesday to Thursday. Some big time line movement. This is one of them.
Oh yeah. And, the Gamblers did not look very good, but over under at 39. Gamblers are plus 195 on the money line. Breakers are minus 230. Now you go back and look at what occurred in week one. I mean, I thought the Gamblers looked like clearly the worst team. And I say that just because the defense did not look good giving up that much. Josh Love looked like fucking Doug Flutie 2.0 in the USFL or Jim Kelly 2.0.
Kenji Bahar looked like, what? Who's the skinniest man alive?
Yeah. Well, that
looked like Kevin Durant out there.
Well, another thing that was shocking is you see, New Jersey. Dakota Prokop looked good. I was surprised. I kind of thought they were going to give the keys to DeAndre Johnson the whole season. Same, you saw it in Birmingham. Now, maybe that was injury related. Maybe that wasn't. But you saw, even with Josh Love throwing that well, they brought in Carson Longchair Strong. And Houston's one of the only teams that said, no. We don't have a second quarterback. And Bahart, 13 of 22, 59%, 109 yards, two interceptions. It's a 34.1 QB rating. Not very good.
You have to wonder how long his leash is. But to your point, maybe they don't really have anybody behind him. And that could be troubling. And that's why maybe they should sign somebody after this week.
That's why I was surprised when I saw they were benching when Cozart was a D. Like he was inactive. I was like, really? Felt like he was. If I had to guess blindly, the best of the three, but I've been wrong before. So here we are, guys. Look, Mark Thompson situation, we're still pending. Obviously, that offense, he was the gas to that offense a year ago. He did not play last week. One of the better running backs in the league, TJ Pledger, the former Utah Ute, went 16 for 41, two touchdowns, but 2.6 yards a rush. Ain't gonna cut it. They brought in Isaiah Zuber at wide receiver. They still got Ratliff Williams. They got Brandon Barnes at the tight end spot. They got some question marks though. And I gotta be honest, I can't take Houston. I'm still laying the number with the breakers. The over under's at 39. I tend to lean under here. Curious, Nick, your take here.
Yeah. So the problem with the gamblers was that their offense was probably the worst in the league last year. They last week only averaged 3.7 yards per play. They were under 100 yards in passing and rushing. So they really couldn't do anything. And to make matters worse, their defense was also probably worst in the league, giving up the highest point total to Michigan at 29, allowing 237 passing yards and 3 total passing touchdowns. Dude, I mean, you gotta be good at something. You'll be good at offense or defense. They're not good at either. I don't see how you bet on the gamblers. This game, I saw that at -4 on Tuesday. Now it's -6. I'm still going to ride the breakers because I like what I saw from McLeod Bethel Thompson. He stepped in his first game. Those were over 300. The passing attack with Jonathan Adams, Johnny Dixon, Sage Surratt coming. He was on Birmingham last year. The tight end from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
That passing attack looks really nice. And I think they're just going to get better as the season progresses. And also, the breakers were the least penalized team last week. So maybe John DeFilippo can do a little bit of coaching. So I want to lay the points.
And McLeod Bethel Thompson, gutsy run in that game for a first down, threw his whole body on the line. This guy, he's not like a lot of these other guys in their 20s. This guy's like 34 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. He reminds me of Paul Blake. Necessary roughness. Let's go.
Arm of the armadillos.
Yes. Eileen,
I'm forgetting.
What's that?
Sorry. I was going to say, I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Wasn't one of the big plays that potentially led to a score for Houston that punt return, or what was that? A touchdown?
Pittsburgh had a punt return.
Oh, Pittsburgh. DeFilippo was, Cause they played. Oh yeah. They're playing Pittsburgh last. They played Pittsburgh last.
Yeah.
Week. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. 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 Well, maybe special teams is something that they need to work on. I know Colby is a stickler for that. But I don't know if Houston has any special teams to offer to threaten them. But you're right. If your offense sucks and your defense sucks and the other team was looking pretty good last week, 6 points doesn't seem like too much to cover. I think the play is to go breakers here.
Go now, breakers.
I actually went over. This is probably the total I feel less confident about. But I do think New Orleans is going to be in at least the mid 20s or so. And I mean, Houston's going to put up 14 points or so. So it's going to be pretty damn close, but I'm actually going to go over here.
Interesting. Patty C, you going over or under? I'm on the under 39.
I'm tempted to go under too. I just need to see more from the gamblers offensively. I don't think the breakers are going to be able to hold that line, hit the over by themselves. And I don't think the gamblers are going to contribute much to that over. So I think it's going to fall a little bit short.
All right. We jump over to the second game on Saturday, the Memphis Showboats, 4 o'clock PM taking on, and remember Houston, New Orleans, there's no home crowd there. It's just Houston and New Orleans. Memphis is in Birmingham. Birmingham obviously, does have the home crowd here, and they shut out all right for the Stallions last week. The Showboats are catching 8. The over-under's at 44.5. Showboats +320 on the money line. +320 on the money line. I'm very curious to see what you guys are doing here, but I am all over. I'll just say I'm taking the 8 points. I'm also taking the over because I think Memphis actually looked improved. And now the Stallions, who actually lost, the Generals had 150 yards more of offense, if memory serves me correct, than the Stallions last week. So there was some opportunity there that they left out there.
I believe the Stallions actually gave up the most yardage in the whole league last week. I keep wanting to say last year, week. Jeez.
So I'm going to take the Showboats, and I'm also going to take the over, and I feel decent about both. I wouldn't be surprised if the Showboats won this thing on the money line. And I wonder if Birmingham, what about Birmingham now going to Slaughter? I mean, come on. Now they have Jamar Smith out for the year. I wonder what they do. Because a lot of these leagues, you play two QBs. Interesting what's going to go on there. And then Memphis, I thought the defense looked a lot better with Carnell Lake, much, much better defensive coordinator than Pepper Johnson, for what I could tell for one game. And then the offensive line looked better. They were running the ball more successfully. I'm buying into this plus eight, and it's not that crazy of a play to take it money line. Besides the fact, I guess the crowd, I guess you don't play a money line. Just give me the eight and the over. I wouldn't be shocked though. Nick, what are you doing here?
I agree with you on both sides there. So first off, let's pour one out for Jamar Smith. I mentioned last week that when him and Skip Holtz, when he starts for Skip Holtz team, they were 21-2 straight up. We'll make it 22-2, but unfortunately he's out for the year. But I mean, Birmingham still probably looks like the best team in the league, but look at their scores last year against Tampa Bay. Folks, remember Tampa Bay is basically Memphis this year. Same coach, mostly the same roster, other than a different quarterback, different running back. But so last year, Birmingham beat Tampa Bay 16-10 and 21-18. They were close games. And I think we can all agree Memphis looks better than Tampa Bay ever looked last year.
100%.
And Birmingham probably is going to take a little bit of a dip here without Jamar Smith, without Marlon Williams. I think you're definitely on point.
Scooby Ride's dinged up too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I liked enough of what I saw from Brady White, and Alex Collins looked pretty good too. The running back, the old Seattle Seahawk, hadn't played football in a couple of years. Didn't look all that rusty. So I'm on the points here, and I do think it'll go over as well.
Patty C, what are you doing in Birmingham?
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with you guys that the passing game was successful. Jamar Smith, 10 of 15 for 160 yards, you know, completing 67% of his passes. Magoo did come in 7 of 11, so 64% for 68 yards. Impressive in his own right. So with four quarters with him at the helm, how are they going to look? Is the offense going to be able to crank at least through the air? Despite Scarborough and Maribel, the rushing game kind of sucked. 87 total rushing yards, both disappointing. I think I agree with you that the showboats were pretty impressive. And I think eight is too many. And Scooby Wright, you know, generating a fumble right off the bat, reminding us all who he is.
Hell yeah.
And
Shark Dog.
But if he's dinged up, then yeah, it's just too many points. And then I guess with the over, yeah, I think Magoo might get the ball spread around enough. And I think the showboat showed enough offensively that I'll roll with the over too.
Yeah, you wonder if Cole Kelly might see the field more for the showboats. We shall see. But all
I
right,
thought look, Brady White looked solid.
He did. He did. That interception, if anything, was kind of a, you know, he was getting hit. So can't really blame him too much on that. Look, before we get to Sunday's action, I want to tell you that the USFL Gambling Podcast is brought to you by the SGPN merch store. Yes, in honor of the NBA playoffs from now until the end of April, get 10% off of anything in the SGPN merch store when you use the promo code SGPNBA. So head over to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Use that promo code SGPNBA to get 10% off everything. We got USFL Gambling Podcast shirts in there. We got our brand new, you know, friend of the program who passed away, Mike Leach. Rest in peace to our coach. Been on the show a bunch of times. We got some brand new Coach Leach Swing Your Sword t-shirts out there as well. And yeah, just check that out. We got a lot of great stuff. So do that. And remember, as always, folks, to let it ride. All right, let's bounce on over to the next game, which, once again, no real home team. This is the one location with no real home team. The New Jersey Generals taking on the Pittsburgh Maulers. 10 a.m. on the West Sunday morning. This one's interesting here. So if you're in Canton, Ohio, by the way, the Canton club seats, did you see this deal, guys?
No.
So you get $500, $550 for the season, but $85 per game, $65 for group tickets. If you're part of a group. So, but you, with that, you get all you can eat buffet, free domestic beer, wine, water, and soft drinks. Yes, yes. Also, cushioned seats with a premium view of the field and access to the club lounge. So,
all right. You know, I not to get off on total sidetrack, but I hate the term domestic beer.
Yeah,
because any little local brewery is making domestic beer, which is much better than Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. But sorry.
Domestic beer is basically Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light.
Yeah, that's what it what it means, but the term is wrong.
I mean, how amazing!
That's the homebrew.
Sorry, I know. Sorry, beer nerd here.
I'm just happy that, you know, you can get totally shit hammered to watch football for a reasonable price.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Because I mean, the NFL has said goodbye to that a long time ago.
Right.
Long time ago. So shout out to the USFL for doing it right. So this game is in Canton, Ohio. Jerseys, Maulers, neutral site. You should go though, because not only do you get to check out that the Pro Football Hall of Fame's there, Jersey's laying 5.5. The over under's at 36.5. The Maulers are plus 190. I know our friend of the program, Toby Johnson, who was on the show last season, he starting defensive end for the Generals. He said, guys, ride with us. All right. We lost that game, but we're going to be fine. All right. And I'm buying into that because look, I think DeAndre Johnson, we didn't see him play that bad last year. All right. And Prokop, I think he looks better than Luis Perez, at least from an athletic standpoint. I think in that capacity, the offense, both quarterbacks can run, right? Which, you know, I think that in its own right. But then Darius Victor, stud. They didn't have Trey Williams. I think he's going to be good to go for this week. We don't know that 100%, but I think he is. Cam Eccles-Looper looked the real deal. He played good for me on my DFS squad. They still got Satterfield, a few other guys. I think the offense bounces back. The defense, if anything,
who was the guy? L. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank.
It is. I know who you're talking about too. Let me pull that up.
You pointed out the two hyphenated guys. Yeah. I don't know if
so. Eccles-Looper and Pearson L.
Pearson L.
Yeah,
that's right. Not Randall L. Pearson L. But similar.
Yeah.
Similar kind of vibe there.
And what Eccles-Looper 5 for 54 also had a couple rushes, and then Pearson L had a 15-yard rush and 1 for 6 in the receiving game. But I expect Mike Riley to get those guys. I think the offense is going to be fine. DeAndre Johnson's got to settle down a little bit, but Prokop, man, I don't know about you guys. I was like, wait, this guy was just sitting there in the CFL. You know, I know they would use him in goal line packages in the CFL. He wasn't even starting most of the time in the CFL. So like that guy looked pretty damn good to me.
Yeah.
Can the defense, remember they lost Chris Dishman, the defensive coordinator. He's now in the XFL, but Ted Cottrell, longtime NFL assistant, that looked a little shaky to me, but then again, Birmingham was really good on offense. So, but I'm all over the Generals here. I think they bounce back. I'm laying the 5.5, the over 36.5. I know the Maulers defense looked good. I'm still taking the over. I think Mike Riley excels at offense. I look to see the Generals alone get 24 or more, which then means can Pittsburgh score, you know, 12 or 10 or 7? Give me the over all day here.
And last week, Pittsburgh put up 15.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a strong chance Jersey could score 28, 31, something like that alone.
Yeah.
Because Trey Williams coming back is huge.
Yeah, so this is another game that opened up at 2.5. I ran to my book on Tuesday and I placed a pretty large wager on New Jersey -2.5 because I thought that was such an overreaction from week one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Pittsburgh looked like the worst offense by far. Their quarterbacks, it's the worst quarterback room in the league. James Morgan, Troy Williams.
Them are Houston. Them are Houston.
True. True. But well,
what did they manage? 72 passing yards last week? 84 rushing yards. I mean, that's like what 150 yards total offense
and 3.3 yards per play less than the Gamblers, which was 3.7. So technically
stretching the field,
a worse offense. So
didn't
I thought
get one of their touchdowns on the punt return.
Yeah. Pittsburgh got a punt return for a touchdown. Yeah. They also had a defensive touchdown.
I mean, so without that, their offense really was the worst.
Like, they didn't score a single point on offense.
Good defense, good special teams. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, I don't care if it's at 5 or 5.5. No, I'm still laying the points. I think New Jersey wins by at least a touchdown, if not double digits. I kind of agree with Colby here. I'm going to go over also. I think Jersey's in the mid 20s. If not higher, and I think it's a major bounce back spot for them. Yeah, I mean, if you got it at 2.5, awesome. But I wouldn't hesitate at 5.5 either.
Not at all, not at all. And over is the play, Patty. See, what are you doing?
I mean, 2.5 and 5.5 is a decent middle, but I wouldn't even take the try and middle it. I think you're just losing money. I would take 5.5 easy. New Jersey covers that, and I think they'll win by 21 points. I think they're a way better team.
I do
too.
And I think it's a lock.
21 points. Was there any games last year where was it that large of a,
I think so. You got a full, I think the Maulers got rocked a couple times.
Yeah, it was a 33-17 game.
I'm trying to remember.
I won't go through all the weeks, but that seems like it's, well, yeah, I mean, I guess, Philly beat Michigan 46-24 one week. So, okay. Okay. It has been done. And hey, it might be done here again.
Yeah.
The defense is improved for Pittsburgh, though. Obviously, homeboy from Alabama stepping in at middle linebacker made a quick difference.
Reuben Foster.
Down on the one.
Yeah.
Foster. I'll give the, what's his name? Looked a lot. I don't know if he's any quicker or more agile. Maybe it's just the uniform. I will say those white with the black shoulder trim. Looked a lot better. So they weren't as terrible looking as I thought they'd be. Pittsburgh actually looked pretty cool, but I don't think that's going to make them win. Oh, who is the other one? Who's the running back? Not
Groshek, not Madre Groshek. London.
Not, London looked quick. London looked quick.
So, how did Groshek look?
Slow.
Not quick.
He looked very quick. White. He looked very white.
Yes, white is the answer. Yeah.
All right. Well, then we got the nightcap. And I'm curious, I'm going to ask you guys after this what the best game of the weekend is to watch. But the Michigan Panthers are hosting. This is it in Ford Field in that filthy dome. Should be in Ysplenty at the Eastern Michigan Stadium. But it's not. It's at that filthy dome. The Michigan Panthers haven't hosted a home game there since 1986, I believe. Don't forget that this is a rematch of the USFL championship in 1983, where the Michigan Panthers beat the Philadelphia Stars by two. This spread is three. All right. The Stars are laying three. The over under is at 46.5. The Panthers are +135 on the money line. I'm buying in. Joe Walker is a fucking stud. I like the ground game for the Panthers. Now, maybe it's Houston's just terrible. But Josh Love looked pretty on point. Joe Walker's good. Devin Ross, those wideouts were there a year ago. Continuity, we talked about. Stevie Scott and Reggie Corbin, nice 1-2 punch. Jeff Fisher really must be this bad because I'm buying into the Michigan Panthers. And I think I'm curious what this crowd will be like in Ford Field. I think it's terrible to play in an NFL stadium because you're not going to pack it. But I still think this will probably be a little advantage to the Panthers there. Give me the Panthers as a live dog. I'm taking the three. I'm taking them on the money line +135. I'll also play the over here. Nick, what are you doing?
The over has jumped up big time too. I'm sorry to beat a dead horse here, but that over opened up at 41.5, all the way up to what, 46.5 now? Is that what you're showing?
Yeah, 46.5. Yeah,
that jumped up 5 points. You know what? I mean, look, Michigan, nice little outing week one. Congratulations. You guys look pretty good. You got the W, you're 1-0. I need to see more. I'm not as quick to Colby to just jump on a new team because they had one good game. You know what I like? I like the Philadelphia Stars in that offense. I like the best quarterback in the league in Case Cookus. I like Colburn, the running back, who's dangerous as a runner and receiver.
How can you say he's the best quarterback in the league when Josh Love just threw two incompletions and had 11 yards of completion? That's unheard of in spring leagues.
One game against the Houston Gamblers who looked awful. I think you're a little too quick to jump on Michigan here. I'm going to go with the tried and true Philly Stars who made it to the championship with basically the same roster. And then they add in another receiver in Corey Coleman. Their receivers, Devin Gray, Chris Rowland, Corey Coleman, all balled out. And you know what? Jordan Sewell, who was their leading receiver last year, had a quiet game. These guys are loaded on offense, and there's no stopping them. So, look, Michigan, much improved, but give me Philly all day. Lay the field goal.
I would say also, I mean, look, you're getting cute when you sit there and say, look at what Michigan did. They held Houston to just 194 yards of offense. They were a good defensive team last year with Jeff Fisher. Okay. So they bring back all those guys, Mike Nolan, defensive mind. They get it done. Ford Field hasn't had a winner since Bobby Lane. All right. And he wasn't even at Ford Field. All right. Detroit hasn't had a winner.
I'm curious the tiebreaker here. Patty C, what route are you going to go down here?
Well, you know, both of you guys make good points. The Stars are a much more proven commodity, obviously, than the Panthers. But, you know, you have a pretty short, supply of data here to work with when it relates to this year. Are we really going to trust last year as this like a holy source of data that's going to translate to this year? I don't know that that's the case. I think maybe you need to take a shorter term view here. That said, three and a half, flat three. Nah, I'm going to ride with the Stars to cover that, even though, you know, the Showboats weren't that good last year. So, which I guess were what the Bandits.
Yeah.
But they weren't terrible, but 4 points you'd expect better from Philly in that game.
They covered,
I guess. But, and then, Panthers far
great
out.
Teams cover.
That's true. That is true. I don't know. 3 points just seems a little too few for the defending champions against one of the worst teams in the league last year.
Runner up champions.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I keep getting confused. They're in the championship every year. They didn't win it last year. Yeah. That's right.
You can't win.
All right. Look, what game do you guys want to see most before we get to DFS? I'm curious what game you guys want to see most.
Can I pick one on Saturday and one on Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Memphis, Birmingham. That's going to be a fun game. And then the game we just finished up talking about, Michigan, Philadelphia, for sure.
I think Michigan, Philly's the one I want to see the whole weekend. No, I don't. It's in a dome. I'll go Memphis, Birmingham.
I like how the two best games are on different days. You know, it's tough to last week was the two best games were on Saturday, and it's tough to dedicate that much of the day to watch all that football. At least for me.
Yeah. I watched it all, baby. All right. I watched it all. Patty, see what game you're most excited to watch this weekend?
I mean, I guess you have to say Panthers Stars, just based on the Panthers kind of whooping butt and the Stars being the defending runners up, like we mentioned. Plus, well, it's the only game where they're both 1-0.
He took the words out of my mouth. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Generals Maul. Actually, that could be a little bit interesting. Imagine if the Maulers pulled the upset. People in New Jersey be losing their minds. Probably not, but
20
Maulers fans
will be crazy.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know. These games, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for another week of USFL action. All right, look, let's hop on over and talk a little DFS action. Obviously, I mean, was I the only one to give away a nice winning lineup last week?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it's kind of crazy with you and Adam rostering
DeAndre Johnson.
Johnson. Like Patty C and I were right at quarterback. Okay, we might have got unlucky everywhere else, but we were right taking Case Cookus last week.
No. True.
One for eight ain't bad.
True. Luckily, some other guys balled out for me, but. I'm curious now, guys, what do you do at the quarterback spot? Do you go Houston's defense looked terrible last year? Do you go McLeod or last week, not last year, Bethel Thompson? Do you go Case Cookus? Does DeAndre Johnson have a bounce back game? Is it Dakota Prokop? Is it, do we go since we know all the reps in Birmingham are going to be with McGo? Do we go him? Josh Love looked like Broadway Joe last week. Do we load up on him again? I mean, I don't think we want any. Are any of you guys brave enough to play anyone in the Pittsburgh or Houston?
Hell no. Hell no.
That's going to be the winning lineup, right?
I guess, I should have paid a little closer attention because I rostered Houston just based on them having the highest fantasy points per game and the lowest salary. But that's very, lowest cost. But that's obviously ignoring last week. So, let's go back to the drawing board here. Well, defensively, who should we rely on?
Defensively, how about we start with quarterback?
No, quarterback, buddy. Right. Start off with quarterback. Price. Yeah.
So I'm going to take Bethel Thompson. Not only did he pass for the most yardage in week one, but the matchup is right going up against a Houston defense, which gave up the most points in week one. If you go Case Cookus, I like it. Always like Case Cookus. I think Love is an interesting play, given that the Stars defense is still not where it needs to be. So any of those plays I like, but give me Bethel Thompson. He sold me last week. I was buying in before last week. Then we saw him play. Now I'm totally in.
We might have our battle of bourbon just to start things off because
I won a bottle against Adam last week. We'll see if he pays up. I'll win a bottle against you this week.
Cause I have the money to go McLeod, Bethel Thompson, but that Breakers offensive line got a little question marks. Josh Love, Broadway Joe 2.0. Let's go.
You are totally buying into the Michigan Panthers.
Broadway Josh. Broadway Josh, baby.
Do you own property in Detroit? Did you buy a house for $500?
Maybe. I gotta see what I did when I got drunk last night. I might have purchased some property. Josh Love, 9400 is my quarterback. Patty C, what are you doing at the QB spot?
You guys are out of your minds. Okay. We're talking about a proven commodity over the course of years, not only him, but the offensive approach. So it's not just like him. The offense itself is going to hum no matter what. And you got a quarterback that can run it and cook us. And he's only costing you $1,200 more than Josh Love at 10,600. Look, fantasy points per game. Case Cook is average 16.6. Josh Love 9.8, doubling him up for $1,000 more.
Cookies
out of my face.
Yes. Cookies. All right. Fair enough. Let's jump over to the running back position. Guys, he averaged 11 yards a carry. Get the fucking guy the ball. All right. I understand Pittsburgh's defense looked good. Blitzberg's back. All right. I thought I saw Mean Joe Green there on that Mahler defense. All right.
Kind of struggled with that one, did you?
Yeah. I almost said Mo Vaughn, the baseball player. I don't know how the fuck. That's why we consume.
Greg Lloyd. You almost saw Greg Lloyd coming off the side there. Yeah,
exactly. Darius Victor, 10.3K. You got to do it because we don't know if Trey Williams is playing. If Trey Williams is playing, maybe I back off Victor and I try to go Colt. No, I don't even like Colburn against Michigan because Michigan, their defense was good last year. I thought about maybe playing Anthony Jones for the Breakers, but their O-line's been awful through the first week. Maybe there's something there with Alex Collins, but give me Darius Victor, the guy. You can make a case he's been the best player in the USFL the past 2 years. Nick, what are you doing at running back?
No, yeah. I'm with you. I have Victor also. Mike Riley is not an idiot. He probably was kicking himself, you know, after the game last week when they lost and he didn't feed him the ball. So they got down in a little bit of a hole and they would just went a little too pass happy. I think he overcorrects that this week and gives him lots of carries. And I also think maybe a lot of other DFSers will be off of Victor because he didn't get the touches. Everybody loves touches. Yeah. He didn't get the touches last week. I think he gets a lot more touches this week and I think he does it with them.
Oh. There we go. We both got him. And like a blind man in an orgy, he's going to have to feel his way out. Talking about Mike Riley. All right. Patty C, what are you doing with the running back spot?
You know, I went Colburn just because, you know, I thought there was okay value, but I'm starting to, you know, second guess that as well.
I wouldn't even second guess it too much. Look, I didn't go because I thought Michigan's run defense was good, but those stars running backs catch passes. So yeah, I can't exactly disagree too much with it.
But how many points is that going to get you? You had five touches. Meanwhile, Alex Collins from Memphis had like 16 touches last week. At some point you got to trust what they're doing with the offense and maybe he'll spring one of those and be worth as well. But if you're only getting five touches, running the ball, you're not going to generate too many stats. So
yeah,
that said, he is explosive. On a couple games last year, you know, a few amount of touches was enough to get him to like 60 plus yard touchdowns. So, he is an explosive player. So I'm going to ride with him, I guess, but I don't feel great about it.
Fair enough. Well, did you guys go three running backs or two?
Two.
I went two.
What I do? Let me double check my lineup here. I went with.
Tell me you rostered Groshek again.
No, although it crossed my mind.
Please do that.
Touches. You know, the guy got his touches. No, I got Steve. I got three backs.
Ooh. Okay.
My second running back is I'm going to. So my final running back, I think this guy's a play. We should all be playing. Stevie Scott at 8,200 against Philadelphia. That rush defense didn't look great. They weren't great last year. Michigan commits to running the ball. I remember Stevie Scott as an Indiana Hoosier. And I think he can play. So give me 8,200 Stevie Scott, the third. What are you doing here, Nick?
I like it, but I didn't roster him. I spent up $300 more for Alex Collins, the Memphis showboat. So here's why I like Collins. Not only did he, you know, take 14 carries for 63 yards and a touchdown, he got 9 targets in the passing game. 9 targets for a running back.
Yeah.
And the backup running back for Memphis, he had 2 rushes, 2 touches all game. I mean, this is the Alex Collins show. And by the way, Birmingham gave up the most yardage in the league last week. So I spent $300 more. I like both plays, but let me roll a dice on Alex Collins.
Patty C, what'd you do with your second running back?
You're right. No, Alex Collins had 14 carries. Alex Jones had 19 carries.
Anthony Jones.
Yeah. Anthony Jones, rather. And then Steve Scott, that's who I went with as well. 12 carries. So he's getting fed.
They have Reggie Corbin too, who's very good. But Stevie Scott looked pretty fucking good this past year or this past week. So I'm buying into this Panther offense.
Now, I think Patty C should probably give his third running back since he's the only one with a third back.
Yeah, what are you doing with that third back? Going with the triple option?
Well, you know, I'm really heavy in the Philly game this week. I took Dexter Williams. We'll see if that.
He looked good, man. He looked good. I was surprised he looked that good. So I just think Michigan's defense is good. But yeah, I mean, Bart Andrus offense can fly in any weather. All right, even in the dome.
So you took Colburn too?
I got Colburn and Williams. Ooh. So between the two of them, I mean, it's the same thing I did last week. I feel like,
and how'd that work for you?
Didn't work out too well.
Hey, but I'll say this. Maybe they'll score more. Like you get those red zone scores, you know?
True.
I feel like last year with Scarborough and Gamble, it worked out almost every week where they're going to combine.
Maribel. Yeah.
And so, Colburn and Williams this week, who knows, but again, you know, they spread the ball around. I think both those guys are explosive and both will get their touches.
I will say this. I had the Generals with Victor and Williams a couple times last year on winning lineups. So there is that.
Yeah. I think you target a run heavy team when the matchup is right.
Yeah.
Not sure if the matchup is right.
Ooh, just coming at you, Patty C. Okay. So
calling us to see it.
My top.
Well, look, I got Cookus, Colburn and Williams. And I'm expecting, like you guys said, them to be throwing the ball around. You know, that doesn't have to be a run. It's not a run heavy approach here. I'm expecting a lot of the fantasy points to come from the passing game. So if Philly does get off this week with Cookies, Colbert and Williams, then I'm going to be looking pretty nice.
There you go.
There we go. All right. Well, jumping over to my top wide receiver, guys, if you don't have him on your team, I'm just going to be very disappointed in you guys as DFS players, because if you watched any of the game last week, did you guys catch my boy Joe Skywalker? 6 for 105 and a score. 6 for 105. Fucking Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is back. He's in the USFL. He's looking like Anthony Carter. Used to be a Michigan Panther. So he's underpriced too at 7,400. I'm all over Joe Walker. Nick, did you go with Walker or what?
I didn't.
let's bet bourbon. Who the fuck did you go with? Right?
He was on my radar, but the thoughts of a New Orleans double stack with my quarterback Bethel Thompson was too juicy to pass up. So my top receiver was Jonathan Adams, who went 5 for 70. Did not score. I think with New Orleans throwing for 300 yards, I think only one touchdown was kind of an anomaly, if I can speak over here. So I think we're going to have more passing touchdowns. I think Jonathan Adams, the most explosive breaker wide receiver. And I do want that stack with Bethel Thompson. So I see your point, Colby, but give me Jonathan Adams instead. I had the money to spend, so why not?
Oh, you want to battle that bourbon again? Let's go.
Sure.
Yeah. Right on. Joe Walker's a legend. All right. Patty, see, what'd you do with your top wide receiver?
I went with you. I went with Joe Walker.
Luke.
I mean,
Joe, I am your father.
Listen to this. Between Cook is Colburn, Walker, Scott, and you got Williams.
Just watch this game. You don't have to watch
five out of my seven players. Five out of my seven spots are in one game.
Hey, look, I mean, I think we can see really early on this season that there's some good offenses and there's some bad ones. So you want to probably, you know, lean towards those good offenses. I think it wasn't it last week when Patty C rostered two Maulers.
He did. He went grow. Yeah. Hey, no wonder why you were in last place. My
lesson
second
learned.
My second wide receiver. Look, I'm not going to change horses midstream, guys. I told you he's Kevontae Turpin 2.0. Cam Eccles Lupa. What does Schwarzenegger say? Lupa. At 5,400, they clearly didn't watch the game last week. This guy's going to have a big day. I know the Maulers defense is good, but Cam Eccles Lupa, look out for some jet sweeps, a couple wide receiver screens, maybe even throws the ball. You know, he's got that side of him. So at 5,400, Cam Eccles Lupa. Nick, what'd you do here?
All right, so my second guy is Sade Surratt, who is also part of my double stack with the New Orleans Breakers. The former Demon Deacon caught 5 of 9 targets, 485 yards last week. These receivers, the more they get in the flow with Bethel Thompson, the more this passing attack is just going to go. And I mentioned the bad defense for Houston here, so I loaded up on the Breaker passing attack.
Breaker 1-2. Come on in now, says NC Nick. Yeah, I mean, look, we've been fans of this guy since he was at Wake Forest. You reside in North Carolina, so I understand. You know, trying to get one of your neighbors. But Patty C, wait, you have one more utility or no?
I have one. I had a wide receiver. Okay. And I also went Sage Surratt. You know, yeah. I didn't overthink it really. I just went with the two guys that had the most receiving yards last week, and both were targeted significant amounts, 7 and 9 respectively. And so I think, you know, I'll try that again. I will say that maybe I was scared away from who is it, Johnny Dixon?
Yeah.
Who had was targeted 11 times last week, so maybe I should go back to that well. But he only had 3 catches, so. But if you're getting targeted 11 times, I think that's a good sign. So maybe I should have gone that way, but instead Surratt was the one that did have the production. Plus his value was super low, 4,200 for the guy who was second receiver in the league last week. Seemed like
you might see in week 1 where apparently Bethel Thompson wasn't all that effective in getting the ball to Dixon. So maybe those targets will come more over to Adams and Surratt this week.
All right. Well, look, my final guy before my defense, I mean, 4,700, he's mispriced. All right. And I'm talking about the Sternberger, Jay Sternberger. This guy was a beast at Texas A&M. Look, he had 5 targets, caught all fucking 5 of them, 5 for 62 and a score. Look, the closest guy, besides that, from a receiving standpoint, what? Williams with 3. This is their offense, especially I believe Magoo threw to him more than Jamar Smith. So now you're telling me Magoo's in there. Give me Jay Sternberger, 4,700. Nick, who's your final wideout?
Talk about criminally underpriced. This is a guy won me the bet against Adam Pelletier last week. Last week he was only 3K. This week he's still 3.7K. Chris Rowland of the Philadelphia Stars. So look, he only had 3 for 22 and a touchdown receiving last week.
He also had
3 rushes for 22 yards. They get him the ball in a variety of ways, and especially when they're in the red zone. And you need, this is my only piece of the Philadelphia Stars offense this week. You need to get at least some action there because they are the best offense in the league. So give me Chris Rowland for a very cheap 3.7K.
I like it. I like it. I like the fact they run him too. That is interesting. I'm also seeing by the way that right now I am seeing a game status report for the Stallions and Bo Scarborough not playing. So no Scooby Wright, no Bo Scarborough, no Marlon Williams, no JoJo Tillery at cornerback, and obviously Jamar Smith out.
Kind of surprised nobody's playing CJ Maribel.
I mean, I think you got to play Memphis Moneyline, right? You got to play Memphis money line with all those guys out. Come on. Patty C, wait, you've done your whole team besides defense, right?
Yeah. And this is the one, but you know what? Since I've already arranged it and they are the cheapest one, let's act like last week was an aberration and say that, hey, this team generates turnovers. They generate defensive points and they're going for super cheap. I'm going to take a flyer on the Houston Gamblers defense to bounce back and generate at least some turnovers. Although, you know, if Pittsburgh scored a defensive touchdown last week, maybe there's value there too. What is the Panthers are only going for 3,800. So that's only a couple hundred bucks more, but I don't know. Gamblers are bust. Let's go.
Ooh. Interesting. Interesting. He's Petty sees a Pittsburgh guy, likes to play the defense there at Pittsburgh. I'm going to the team that gave up, they were not as impressive as we thought because Chris Dishman gone. Maybe that was the Ted Cottrell to Chris Dishman effect, you know. But I think, you know what helps defensive numbers when you play the Pittsburgh Maulers? Give me the Generals defense at 3,900. Nick, what are you doing here?
Play the music. I told you the Pittsburgh offense looked awful last week.
Yeah.
I think it's an obvious play.
All over it. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, that is our show, folks. And hopefully, you listen to me. We'll put some more cash in your pocket. Remember last year I did have a first place lineup for over $1,000 that I won. $1,500? I think it was 13. I don't remember what the fuck it
Throw
was.
It but up, baby. Throw
let's
it up.
Go. Check us out. And folks, subscribe to us on Twitter at USFL Gambling. Also, we're on YouTube, so give us a subscription. You know, and I'm not talking about one of those Maxwell House 10 CDs, for 1 cent subscriptions. All right. We're not trying to take anything from you. Just hop on there, youtube.com, USFL Gambling Podcast. And look, give us all a follow. I'm on Twitter at the Colby D. NC Nick's on Twitter at NC_NICK. Patty C is on Twitter, Patty C 831. I also host the XFL Gambling Podcast. I also host the College Football Experience. So subscribe, check that out. We talk college football year round. We've been doing this shit for years. Also check out the Sports Gambling Podcast and College Baseball Experience I host as well. That's going on right now. Get the SGPN app for free in the App Store and Google Play Store. Also come talk USFL with us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. I think you'll enjoy that. They have everything there. Even if you're CFL, whatever the sport is that you dig, you can come over to the Discord and talk it. I think you will dig it. Until next week when we have a reaction show, probably Monday. This is the USFL Gambling Podcast. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.
The waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway,
and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Open the door to big savings with a brand new look with Larson Doors. Now at Menards. Whether you're looking for traditional, modern, or a screen door, Larson Storm Doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. They come in over 40 styles of storm doors to choose from. Check out all Larson Storm Door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save